Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Vayishev. Please consider a donation to Pardes in honor of the podcast. Your donation will go a long way since Pardes is a small institution. Your gift will make a real difference. We appreciate gifts of any amount. You can donate online at any time via donate.pardesusa.org. Thanks very much. We have a number of faculty who are speaking across the world. Just to draw your attention briefly, at Limud UK, faculty members Yaffa Epstein, Judy Klitzner, and Rabbi Alex Israel will be speaking. That's Limud UK. At Limud New York, Dr. Mish Hammer Kosoy will be speaking. And at Limud LA, Rabbi Tzvi Hirschfeld will be speaking there. Also, if you are a young adult or you know a young adult, they should check out the spirituality retreat from Pardes. That will be January 3rd through 8th in Maryland. All the details are on the Pardes website, pardes.org.il, also in the show notes. This week, Neiman Novetsky discusses Vayishev. Neiman Novetsky is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Neiman Novetsky.
Thank you, Larry. As we read Parshat Vayishev this coming Shabbat, we begin the colorful narratives of Yosef and his brothers. Beloved by his father, and thus detested by his brothers, Yosef is thrown into a pit and later sold into slavery into Egypt. The coming Parshiot in the following weeks will continue to follow his ups and downs until finally Yosef becomes second to the king and is reunited with his brothers. Today, though, I wanted to focus on the beginning of the story, where it all began, the actual sale of Yosef. I think most of us grow up naturally reading that it is the brothers who sold Yosef, as Shadal Shmuel David Luzzatto, a 19th century Italian commentator, writes, Rov ha'olam ma'aminim ki ha'achim machur et Yosef. Most of the world believes that the brothers sold Yosef. Interestingly, Shadal picks up and says, most of the world, meaning that some people disagree. Not everyone thinks it's the brothers, and the question, of course, is going to be, well, if not them, then who? In the rest of this podcast, we're going to look at all those different opinions, see what's motivating each one, and how does it have us read the story differently. Let's start with the psukim themselves. As everyone knows, after Yosef is given his striped coat by his fathers, the brothers become jealous and can't stand the sight of their brother. One day, when they see him from afar, the brothers say to each other, Hinei bal hachalomot halazeba. Look, the dreamer has come. L'chu v'nahargeu. The first idea is, let's go and kill him. Vayishma Reuven, vayatzileho miyadam. Reuven hears this suggestion, and he says, uh-uh. And he saves them from their hands. And he says, Lo nakenu nefesh. Let's not kill a soul. Al tishpuchu dam. Don't go and spill blood. Hashlicho tol habor hazeh asher bamidbar. V'yad al tishluchu bo. He comes up with an alternative plan. Let's throw him into the pit. Let our hands not be on top of him. And what was Reuven thinking? Laman hatzilo tol miyadam lashivo laviv. Reuven wasn't really thinking that they should leave him in this pit, but he was planning on eventually going back and saving his brother and bringing him safely home to his father. And so when Yosef comes, they take off his coat and they throw him into the pit. And then vayishvu lechol lachem. They go and they sit down to eat. From afar, vayiru hinei orchat yishmaelim ba migilad. They see this caravan of yishmaelim coming. Vayomer Yehuda lachav, and Yehuda comes up with the great idea. Ma beta kin harog et achinu v'chisinu edema. Why should we let him go and die in this pit? V'chul v'nim kareno le'yishmaelim. Let's go and sell him to the yishmaelim. V'yadeinu al tihibo. And our hands won't touch him. V'yishmu achav, and the brothers listen. The next verse. V'yavru anashim midyanim socharim v'yimshachu v'yalu et Yosef min habor. Some Midianite merchants pass, and they take him up and they pull him out of the pit. ואם קראו את יוסף לישמעאלים, and they sell Yosef to the Ishmaelim, בעשרים כסף for 20 pieces of silver. Vayashav Reuven hal haboard. Next thing we know, Reuven returns to the pit. V'hine ein Yosef b'bor, and he realizes Yosef's not there. Vayikra begadav, and he goes and he tears his clothing. V'hamidanim machru et oto Mitzrayim. And finally, we're told that the Midianim go and sell Yosef to Mitzrayim. There are a few ambiguities in our verses. First of all, there's this interesting play between Yishmaelim and Midianim. From afar, the brothers see Yishmaelim. And yet, in the verse which speaks of him being taken out of the pit itself, we're told, Ve'eru anashim Midianim. But next we know, Yosef is being sold like Yishmaelim. Then again, in verse 36, it's the Midianim who sell him into Mitzrayim, only to find out that a few chapters later, when we recap our story, we're told that Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim by Hayishmaelim. What in the world is the relationship between the Yishmaelim and Midianim? Did they both take a hand in the sale? How do we understand what it is that they're both doing in our story? Second ambiguity is the role of Reuven. Reuven returns to the pit and is surprised not to find Yosef, suggesting that he must not have been present during the sale. And we wonder, well, where was he? Why wasn't he part of it? There's another set of verses that it pays to talk about that are going to be related to our original question of who sold Yosef. And those are in Yosef's own recounting of what happened to him. Later in chapter 40, when Yosef speaks of his own his being brought down to Egypt, he uses an interesting language. He says, Ki gunov gunafti me'eret Evrim. I was kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. Later, in contrast, in chapter 45, verse 4, Yosef tells the brothers, Ani Yosef achichem asher mechartem oti Mitzrayma. I am Yosef, your brother, who you sold to Egypt. One wonders, what's the relationship between these two different phrases that Yosef used, being kidnapped and being sold? Is that one and the same? If it's not, well, which is true? Was he kidnapped or was he sold? So let's see how our various commentators understand our story. We'll start with Rashi, who takes, I think, what we might say is the most traditional approach. Rashi tells us, Ve'avru anashim Midianim, zohi shayara acharet. Regarding the question of the relationship between the Yishmaelim and Midianim, Rashi says, that was a different caravan of people, those Midianim. V'hodiyacha ha-katuv shenimkar pa'amim habe. And the text is trying to tell us that Yosef was sold many times. How does it happen? Ve'im shechu, b'nei Yaakov et Yosef min habor. The children of Jacob took Yosef out of the pit. Ve'im charuhu le'ishmaelim, they sell him to the Yishmaelim. V'ha'ishmaelim le'midianim, the Yishmaelim sell them to the Midianim. V'ha'midianim le'mitzrayim, and finally he makes his way down to Egypt. So Rashi again takes the approach that I think most of us take on an initial read of the story. After having spoken about going and selling Yosef, the brothers actually act on their words and they take him out of the pit and they sell him to the Yishmaelim. How to understand the play between Yishmaelim and Midianim? Rashi says simply, it's not so surprising. What is the way of sellers and merchants in general? One person buys, he sells to another person. That person then takes the merchandise and sells it to a third person. So too happened here. The brother sold him to the Yishmaelim to the Midianim. The Midianim finally bring him to Egypt. That's a simple answer. There is one textual difficulty because we do have two verses which speak about the final stage of the sale. One of which says that it is the Yishmaelim who sell him to Potiphar in Egypt, and the other who says that it's the Midianim who sold him to Potiphar in Egypt. And even though it accounts for several stages of the sale and several of the switches between Yishmaelim and Midianim, Rashi's approach does not account for that last contradiction. Rabbeinu Tam takes a similar approach to Rashi, but explains the switch between Yishmaelim and Midianim in a slightly different way. He, too, does not end up accounting for our final contradiction, but for the first few stages of the switches between Yishmaelim and Midianim, he reads, V'dai b'nei Yaakov machuot Yosef la'Yishmaelim. For sure, it is the sons of Jacob who sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim. So where do the Midianim come in? V'heim hayu yireim l'mashcho min habor mipnei hanechashim. He says, but the Yishmaelim feared the actual physically taking Yosef out of the pit because of all of the snakes in the pit. Ad shira'u ha-midyanim, until they saw the Midyanim from afar. Va'yishmelim sachru otam kedei lehotziyo mehabor. And so the Yishmelim go and hire the Midyanim to be their porters, to actually physically take Yosef from the pit. Now this actually worked very well with the Psukim, because in the Psukim, right after the brothers talk about selling Yosef to the Yishmelim, we read, Ve'avru anashim Midyanim, and at that point the Midyanite people come by, Va'yimshachu ve'yalu et Yosef, and they pulled Yosef out of the pit. It would seem that the subject of the verb vayim shechu, they're pulling, is the subject of the people that are mentioned in the beginning of the sentence, which are the Midyanim. So Rabbeinu Tam says, yes, the Midyanim are the ones who actually, physically took him out of the pit. Why? Because the Yishmaelim were too scared to. They didn't want to do the actual taking out of the pit, and so they hired people that they saw walking by to do that job for them. That's one approach. Not everyone agrees, though. Rav Yosef Bechor Shor has as his starting point the returning of Reuven to the pit. He says, well, how do we understand the fact that Reuven wasn't there? Rashi had suggested that Reuven wasn't there because he was busy doing something else at the time. What does Rashi suggest? He was busy doing tshuva for having slept with his mother, with Bilha. Where does Rashi get that from? Perhaps from a play in the words, Vayashav Reuven. Reuven returns. Return here doesn't just mean to physically return to the pit, but he had been doing an act of returning, an act of repentance. And so for Rashi, Reuven wasn't there during the sale. He only came back afterwards because he'd been busy repenting. Rav Yosef Bechor Shor is not so convinced by that. There's not too much in the text that would convince us that Reuven was busy repenting at the time of the sale. So Rav Yosef Bechor Shor goes in a different direction. He says, let's use realia, our knowledge of the ways of people, in order to try to figure out where Reuven might have been. And he takes his knowledge of shepherding and puts it back into our story. So what does he say? Ve'yishvu le'achol lechem. When the brothers were eating bread, derech haro'im shemiksatam ochlim umiksatam omdim al habehimot. He says, the ways of shepherds is that they divide into groups. Some of them eat, while others are watching the animals. V'achar shachlu miksatam, hochim otam shachlu al habehimot, v'achirim ochlim. He says that when one group finishes eating, the other one goes and switches. They take turns. Rav Yosef Bechor Shor is pointing out that it actually makes a lot of sense that not all of the brothers were eating together, because if so, who was watching the sheep at the same time? And so he suggests that perhaps there were two groups of brothers, one headed by Yehuda, the other headed by Reuven, and while Yehuda's group was eating and seeing from afar the Yishmaelim come and coming to the decision that they should go and sell Yosef, Reuven's group was in a different part. They were shepherding. They knew nothing of the sale. According to Rav Yosef Bechor Shor then, when Reuven comes back to the pit, he knows nothing of the sale, but he's not the only one that knows nothing of the sale. A full half of the brothers had nothing to do with the sale. Only the brothers that would have been with Yehuda went through with the sale. The other ones didn't. And it's very likely, though Rav Yosef Bechor Shor doesn't say this explicitly, that what was going on, Yehuda, who had been the mastermind behind doing something negative to his brother Yosef, he's able to convince his brothers, let's go and sell him. It's very likely that Reuven, in the meantime, was trying to convince his group not to do anything wrong to Yosef at all. So what Rav Yosef Bechor Shor gains here is that a full half of the brothers are not culpable in the slightest for having sold their brother. Only Yehuda and his followers were. How does he understand the play between the Yishmaelim and the Midyanim? So he says simply, Midyanim u'mishmaelim achim hayu mimnei pilegshei Avraham, Yishmael ben Hagar u'midan u'midyan mimnei Ketura, u'boto chavura hayu sham mimnei Yisrael mimnei Midan u'midyan. He says, the Midyanim and the Yishmaelim are all related. Each of them come from the Pilakshim of Avraham. One comes from Hagar, one comes from Keturah. both of those having been wives of Avraham, and thus they tend to travel together in a group. And so, at one point the Tanakh picks up on one of them, and one point the Tanakh picks up on another, but really they're all one big group traveling together. And so one shouldn't be surprised between the switches. Rashbam goes a step further. If, according to Rav Yossi Percher Shor, only half of the brothers took a part in the sale, according to Rashbam, not even one did. Let's see how he understands our verses. Vayavru anashim midyanim, betoch shehayu yoshvim le'achol lechem, urechokim hayu kitzat min habor, levilt yachol al hadam, umamtinim hayu le'yishmelim shera'u. He sets up the stage that the brothers went to eat bread. From afar, they had seen the Yishmaelim, but they know it's going to be a while until the Yishmaelim come. The brothers perhaps seen them on the main highway and recognize, they have to be passing by us, but that could be in about an hour. So they sit down to eat, and they wait for the Yishmaelim to come by. In the meantime, kodim shaba'u ha-Yishmaelim, avru anashim midyanim acherim derech sham. Rashbam suggests, but while they're sitting and eating and waiting for the Yishmaelim to come, in the meantime, a whole different group of people, these Midyanim, happen to come right by the pit. Ra'uhu babur, and they see Yosef in the pit. The brothers eating lunch have no knowledge of this because, according to Rashbam, the brothers aren't going to be eating right next to Yosef. That wouldn't be a very pleasant experience because Yosef presumably is sitting there screaming his head off in the pit. So instead, they move quite a bit away from him, sit down to eat, don't look at Yosef, know that they have a full hour until the Yishmaelim are going to come by and they're going to make their sale. And in the meantime, unbeknownst to them, these other groups of people, the Midyanim, happen to come by the pit and see Yosef. And so what do? They themselves, these Midianites, come, pull Yosef out of the pit and say, finders keepers. And they themselves decide to sell him to the Yishmaelim. And the brothers know nothing of it. Rashbam actually works very well in our verses. If we go back to the verses, the brothers have their whole conversation and say, let's go and sell him. And the next thing we know, Vayavru anashim midyanim socharim vayimshachu vayalu et Yosef min habor. Midianite merchants came and passed by, and they, referring back to the Midianites, pulled Yosef from the pit, vayimkaru et Yosef l'Yishmaelim. They, the Midianites, sold Yosef to the Yishmaelim. It is not the brothers who is the subject of verse 28 and all of the verbs, the taking out and the pulling and the selling, but rather the Midianites. And so Rashbam says that's exactly what happened. The brothers might have thought of selling Yosef, but they actually never did. They were waiting on the side, and in the meantime, someone beat them to it. The Midianites came and sold Yosef. Rashbam realizes, though, that he has a problem, because later on in the verses, we're told that Yosef told his brothers, "Machartem oti Mitzrayim, you sold me to Mitzrayim." And one wonders, well, was he really sold to Mitzrayim? According to this, he was actually kidnapped, not by the brothers, but by the Midianim. So how does Rashbam read that puzzle? So Rashbam tells us, "Yesh lomar shehagramat maaseim siya b'mechirato." He says, we must say that their action caused his sale. In Yosef's eyes, the brothers basically sold him to Egypt. Yes, true, they might not have done the physical exchange of money, taking him out of the pit, receiving money in return, but had they not thrown him into the pit to begin with, he would never have been sold. And so in Yosef's eyes, his brothers are responsible for the sale. And so when he talks to them, he says, "Machartem oti Mitzrayim, you sold me." When he speaks to other people, he says, "Gunov gunafti, I was kidnapped." Because in reality, practically, he was kidnapped. So what does Rashbam gain from his read? So on one hand, it does take care of a lot of our ambiguities in the verses very nicely. But does he gain any moral ground? That might be debatable. According to some, well, what's the difference? The brothers wanted to, and had the Midianites not beat them to it, they would have gone through with their plan. Others say, no, actually, if they didn't do it, you can't hold them responsible. Yes, they might have been planning on doing it, but you never know what was going to happen. Perhaps Reuven would have saved them before they had a chance to do the evil deed. Perhaps they would have changed their minds by themselves and never have done the evil deed. According to Rashbam's read, one cannot totally hold the brothers accountable. There's one other important gain that Rashbam makes, or at least a slightly different read that Rashbam has, and that has to do with Reuven returning to the pit, where Rav Yossi Bechor Shur and Rashi had to sort of make up stories or bring in possibilities as to where Reuven was. Why was it that he wasn't part of the sale? And one comes up with this idea of his doing repentance, the other that the shepherds split, etc. Rashbam has Reuven playing quite a different role. For Rashbam, what's the reason that Reuven didn't know what had happened to Yosef? Why was he surprised when he comes back to the pit to find that Yosef isn't there? Because he's just like the rest of the brothers. None of them know. And as opposed to Rashi, who has Reuven being the last to find out, according to Rashbam, Reuven is actually the first to find out that Yosef's not in the pit. And this makes a lot of sense, because if Reuven's whole plan was, I'm going to save him, it doesn't make sense that he should be the last one back to the pit. Instead, he hurries back to the pit as soon as he possibly can. While the rest of the brothers are eating lunch, he says to himself, let me go back to the pit before anything can happen. Lo and behold, what does he find though? He's not there. Where's Yosef? And he gets very surprised. But according to Rashbam, the other brothers are going to be just as surprised when he gives them the news, because none of them expected Yosef not to be in the pit. Let's move from Rashbam to one last read of our story. And this is a read by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who in some ways is similar to Rashbam, and in some ways quite a bit different. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid's starting point is that contradiction in terms that we had seen in the Psukim earlier between Yosef's description of being kidnapped and Yosef's description of being sold. So he asks, "V'chi Yosef amar davar sheker ki ganov gunafti v'halo nimkar?" He says, what? Was Yosef lying when he says he was kidnapped? Wasn't he sold? Ela lefi hapshat kach haya hamasa, he says, but according to the simple reading, this is what happened. Shashvatim yeshvu le'achol lechem. The tribes had come and sit down to eat bread. Vayis'u einehem, they lift their eyes. Vayu v'hinerachat yishmelim ba'amei agilad. And from their far, they see the caravan of yishmelim. V'nityatzu le'machro, and they decide to sell him. As they're in the midst of negotiations with the Yishmaelim, in the meantime, a different group of people, the Midianites, come and look into the bore in order to get some water. And instead of finding water, they go and they hear the cry of Yosef, and they kidnap Yosef. Rav Yehuda HaChassid, like Rashbam, suggests that there's two different groups going on. One who the brothers originally want to sell him to, and a different one who beat them to it. A major difference between the two opinions, though, is that according to Rav Yehuda HaChassid, the brothers actually go through with the transaction to the Yishmaelim. It is actually while they're in the midst of negotiating the transaction that the Midianim take Yosef. The brothers are bartering, oh, we'll give him to you for 30, and the people say, no, 40, and they say 35, or whatever it is. And as they're talking, the Midianites come and take Yosef. What happens next, according to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid? V'hayishmelim lo yadu sh'amidyanim ashchohu min abor ke yu'etzel b'nei Yaakov. Not only do the brothers not know about what happened, the Yishmelim too. They've just decided to buy Yosef. When they come back to the pit to pick up their goods, they're going to find out that he's not there. V'hu tzrchu ha'yishmelim l'shtatefim ha'midyanim. And as a result, the Yishmelim and the Midianim have to end up partnering. The Midianim claim, look, finders keepers, we found him, he didn't belong to anybody, we took him. And the Yishmael says, not fair, we just bought him, we just paid for him. So they make a pshara, they make a compromise, that together they're going to go and take hold of this goods. Yosef will belong to both of them. And they both bring him down to Egypt, umachruhu the Potiphar. The major gain that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid has here is understanding the contradiction between who brought Yosef to Potiphar in Egypt. Was it the Midianim or was it the Yishmaelim? The verses, one verse says one, the other verse says another. And so, what does Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid say? They actually did it together. Both of them brought him down to Egypt, and therefore, one verse could pick one, and the other verse, the second. So we've seen an array of sources dealing both with some technical difficulties, some textual difficulties, and some moral difficulties as to who sold Yosef. What is the relationship between these Midianim and Yishmaelim? What was the role of Reuven? How many of the brothers were culpable or not? And we go from one exposition which suggests that everyone except Reuven was a part of the sale, to the other extreme of Rashbam, who says none of the brothers were part of the sale, and of course to the in-between position of Rav Yossi Bechor Shor, who suggests half and half. And again, it makes us wonder, to what extent are our preconceived notions when we come into reading Tanakh that which affects the way that we read? Most of us grow up with this story from before we've read it inside, knowing in advance that it must have been the brothers who sold him. And yet, when you read the verses again with other possibilities in mind, you recognize that actually there's more than one way of reading this text. And those other ways might account for different ways of looking at the brothers and how much to blame they are. None of the reads, of course, is going to take away all blame from the brothers, because for sure they threw him into a pit. For sure they had wanted to go and sell him to Egypt. But wanting to do something and doing it are two very different things. And so I leave you on Shabbat to discuss this further. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Neymar. And thank you for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.